Chapter 3, Planning and Preparation. Overview. Planning in the training management cycle aligns prioritized training tasks with resources over time. The commander plans training one echelon down and ensures training two echelons down is evaluated. The commander does this, assisted by the staff, by developing a plan that projects the sequencing of training events required to achieve necessary mission essential task proficiency levels. The standards required to achieve task proficiency are prescribed in Army training and evaluation outlines for tasks and applicable weapons system publications. The planning process begins with the commander providing principal inputs, prioritized mission essential tasks, weapons qualification, collective live fire tasks, and the commander's assessment of the unit's training proficiencies. Training battle rhythm. Commanders establish the unit's training battle rhythm to integrate and synchronize training activities, meetings, briefings, conferences, and reports. Establishing a training battle rhythm helps sequence and formalize these activities to regulate the flow and sharing of training information across the command. Examples of training battle rhythm activities include training resource synchronization conferences, published formal training guidance, such as annual training guidance, semi-annual training guidance, and quarterly training guidance, training briefings, such as annual training briefing, semi-annual training briefing, and quarterly training briefing, training meetings, training support meetings, commander-to-commander dialogues, published company training schedules, T-week coordination. Long-range planning and preparation. Long-range planning and preparation determine the training required to progress from the unit's current state of training proficiency to the desired proficiency level. The unit commander conducts long-range planning to sequence training events with resources over time to determine who, what, when, and where to train. Long-range preparation ensures coordination and actions needed to secure long lead time resources are accomplished prior to training. The long-range planning process culminates in the publication of annual training guidance, known as ATG, and a long-range training calendar. Planning and preparation considerations. In developing the unit's long-range training plan, commanders and planners account for several key planning considerations. These include higher headquarters training guidance and training requirements. Commanders need to account for higher headquarters training directives and time management system to ensure that they nest their training to meet the higher commander's intent. Time management system. Commanders prioritize training time by utilizing a time management system. A time management system is a method of protecting allocated training time and resources for subordinate units while accounting for necessary Army requirements that detract from training. Higher commanders account for all organizations within their command and utilize an equitable time management system based on unit training priorities and missions. The most common time management system used within the Army is the green-amber-red cycle. Green cycle. Units in the green cycle have training resource priority and focus predominantly on unit collective training. Higher commanders protect these units from taskings and training distractors. Green cycle is also referred to as primetime training. Amber cycle. Amber cycle units have training resource priority behind green cycle units. Commanders normally focus training in the amber cycle on small unit, individual, leader and battle task proficiency. Higher commanders only assign amber cycle units taskings that exceed red cycle units' ability to support. Red cycle. Units in red cycle are the primary organizations that execute higher headquarters directed support taskings. Units in this cycle still conduct training, but training focuses primarily on individual tasks, weapon proficiency, and self-development opportunities. Training events. Commanders design and schedule training events focused on achieving the desired proficiency levels in their prioritized tasks. Commanders define training objectives for each training event by clearly identifying the tasks, conditions, and standards, as well as the expected outcome. They develop unit training proficiencies following a systematic process, starting with supporting individual tasks and progressing through the unit's prioritized mission essential tasks. Utilize the crawl-walk-run method. Commanders sequence training events from relatively simple to increasingly more complex. This methodology, known as crawl-walk-run, develops unit training proficiencies in a progressive sequence and ensures that task proficiencies build on each other, laying a solid foundation before moving on to more complex tasks and increasingly complex conditions. Allocate the necessary training time and resources to enable subordinate organizations to train to standard. Most non-staff training is executed at the platoon and below. For example, in a typical brigade, 70 to 80% of training should occur at platoon level and below, 10 to 15% at company, and 5 to 10% at battalion and brigade. However, all training should seek multi-echelon training opportunities, and battalions and brigades should leverage command post exercises to command and control lower echelon training to build and sustain proficiency. For example, battalions should establish a command and control element during platoon exercises. See Appendix F for training exercises. Multi-echelon training. Multi-echelon training is a training technique that allows for the simultaneous training of one or more echelons on different or complementary tasks, ADP 7-0. As each echelon conducts its analysis to determine tasks to train, individual soldier tasks to brigade-level mission essential tasks are nested where possible. Training environments. Conducting all training events in a live environment is impractical and not always possible. Hence, whenever possible, leverage all of the three training environments: live, virtual, and constructive. Training live most closely replicates combat conditions and is the most effective and valuable option. Virtual enablers add significant value by helping in the preparation phase to set conditions for live, during execution by complementing live, and in the retraining phase by enabling maximum repetitions to sustain proficiency over time. Live training is executed in field conditions using tactical equipment. It involves real people operating real systems. Units execute virtual training using computer-generated simulators. Gaming is a subset of the virtual training environment. They execute constructive training using computer models and simulations to exercise command and staff functions. Risk management. Training, especially in a live environment, carries an inherent risk to soldiers, equipment, and the physical environment. Commanders and leaders effectively manage risk by putting in place a system to continuously monitor risk mitigation. The Army uses risk management to help maintain combat power while ensuring mission accomplishment. Commanders and leaders utilize the five steps of risk management as outlined in ATP 5-19. Step 1. Identify the hazards. Step 2. Assess the hazards. Step 3. Develop controls and make risk decisions. Step 4. Implement controls. Step 5. Supervise and evaluate. Other long-range preparations include identifying training resources requiring long lead times for coordination. These resources can include the following: Class 5 ammunition forecasting, training area identification and coordination, field feeding, medical support, transportation, opposing forces, external evaluators, training facilities, like unit conduct of fire trainer and aviation simulators. Coordinating training support not on the installation. Locking in school slots. Integration and coordination of low-density military occupational specialty, known as MOS, training. Army certification such as Expert Infantryman Badge, Expert Soldier Badge, and Expert Field Medical Badge. Long-range training plan content. When complete, the long-range training plan includes the following elements: The units prioritized mission essential tasks, weapons qualifications, and collective live fire tasks to train. The required proficiencies, T or P, to achieve. A deadline to achieve training proficiencies. An operational environment to replicate in training. Time management cycle. Unit training events. Scheduled maintenance services. External evaluation expectations, responsibilities, and schedules. Collective live fire, gunnery, and frequency requirements. Individual training guidance such as Army Warrior Training, to include warrior tasks and battle drills, and low-density military occupational specialty training. Physical training focus. Leader development plans and training objectives. Leader certification. Long-range training calendar. Long-range training plan approval. The commander two levels up approves the unit's long-range training plan. This approval and commander-to-commander contract is normally part of an annual training briefing, known as ATB. The senior commander approves the subordinate unit's current training proficiency assessment, mission essential task prioritization, weapons qualification guidance, and collective live fire requirements. Long-range training plan to ensure it is nested within the higher unit's training plan, is resourced appropriately, can accomplish the subordinate unit's progression to the designated level of training proficiency. Lower priority tasks that will not be trained until a later date. The approved training plan becomes a contract between the senior and subordinate commanders. It represents the senior commander's commitment to resource subordinate unit training and protect it from unprogrammed training distractors. The subordinate commander commits to conducting the training as briefed, or with approved modifications. Long-range training plan publication. When approved, the long-range training plan is published as annual training guidance to subordinate, higher, and other affected commands as necessary. The format of the annual training guidance is at the discretion of the commander and includes the long-range training calendar. Reserve component considerations. Both the regular Army and reserve component, RC, share the same training doctrine, share procedures, and train to the same standard. However, the training environment, planning horizons, and time available to train differ for RC units. Geographic dispersion of units affects the RC training environment, increasing the complexity for these units to accomplish training. Reserve units must account for additional resource considerations when determining training areas, either a regular Army or RC training installation, to accomplish training to standard. RC commanders prioritize available training days and synchronize resources over extended planning horizons, often over the span of several years. To mitigate this, RC units rely on a training month approach, T-month, concept similar to the T-week framework. Mid-range planning and preparation. Mid-range planning and preparation is based on the approved annual training guidance. It ensures resources are coordinated for and confirmed prior to training events. It focuses on a semi-annual and bi-quarter refinement and execution of the annual training guidance, known as ATG. Some of the critical activities that occur during mid-range planning and preparation include published semi-annual training guidance, known as SAT-G, and quarterly training guidance, known as QTG. Semi-annual training briefings, known as SAT-Bs, and quarterly training briefings, known as QTBs, provide periodic updates of subordinate unit training progress to senior commanders. Semi-annual training briefings and quarterly training briefings are provided to the commander two levels above. Battalion commanders brief the division commander, and company commanders brief the brigade commander. The briefings are designed to discuss past, present, and future training expectations, and to approve any necessary modifications to the annual training guidance. The briefing results in a training contract or agreement between the senior and subordinate commanders consisting of two parts. First, upon approval of the subordinate commander's plan, the senior commander agrees to provide resources, and protect the subordinate unit from unprogrammed training distractors. Second, the subordinate commander agrees to execute the approved training to standard. Training meetings are conducted to refine training guidance and training calendars. At battalion and brigade levels, these meetings focus on overall annual training guidance progress and ensuring training resources for subordinate companies are coordinated and available when training begins. Leader Development Plan. Leaders create leader development plans focused on improving and sustaining subordinate leader skills and attributes as unit training progresses. This planning is also discussed during training meetings and annual training briefings, semi-annual training briefings, and quarterly training briefings. Installation Training Resource Conference Attendance. These conferences provide home station units visibility of training resource usage and scheduling on the installation. Attendance gives unit leaders and training planners opportunities to review, coordinate, and secure these major resources, such as ranges, training areas, and simulators, for future training. They also help deconflict potential scheduling issues between using units. Training and certifying leaders is crucial in delivering quality, effective training. Training and certifying leaders ensures qualified leaders are subject matter experts and can perform tasks to standard. The commander sets the criteria for certification, ensuring these leaders are well-trained and prepared to evaluate and train others before training begins. Training and certification accomplishes two goals. First, it provides the commander and other unit leaders confidence that the leader being trained and certified is professional and competent in training and evaluating others. Secondly, it provides the training audience confidence that trainers know their craft expertly, building trust and confidence not just in the trainer, but in themselves and the unit. Commanders are responsible for establishing an effective leader training and certification program for the unit. They continually monitor and adjust the unit certification process to ensure unit training is led by competent leaders who set the example to those trained. Short-range planning and preparation. Company and below units manage training in the short-range planning horizon primarily through company training meetings. See Appendix E for training meetings. In this planning horizon, training schedules are approved and published. Final pre-execution checks and coordination are conducted, and supplies are delivered. The training week, T-week framework, is a planning technique that aligns the weeks prior to and after a training event to the actions or activities that must be accomplished. For example, week T is the week of execution. Week T-6 is 6 weeks prior to execution, and week T+1 is the week following execution. Company training schedules. Company training schedules are the culmination of long, mid, and short-range planning and preparation. During long-range planning, the company commander sequences training events with resources over time to determine who, what, when, and where to train to ensure coordination and resources. Company training schedules ensure training is conducted on time, by qualified trainers and with the necessary resources. Company training schedules are priorities of work tied to timelines. Company commanders develop training schedules no later than 6 weeks prior to training. The company commander signs and the battalion commander approves training schedules no later than 6 weeks prior to training execution, generally at the conclusion of the weekly battalion training meeting. Training schedules are posted in company common areas and are provided to soldiers. At a minimum, company training schedules include the following information: date and time of training, start and end, attendees, tasks trained, task title and numbers for reference, trainer, primary and alternate, uniform and equipment, location, such as training areas or facilities, references, authentication, company commander signature and battalion commander signature when approved. Changes to approved training schedules. To enable predictability and consistent quality execution, Events codified in a training schedule should not change. However, changes to approved training are sometimes unavoidable. Any substantive changes between weeks T-6 through T-4 require battalion commander approval. Changes between weeks T-3 through T-2 require brigade commander approval. And any change inside week T-1 requires division commander approval. Consistent changes within 2 weeks of training indicate a commander failure to accurately plan unit training, or higher commander failure to protect subordinate units from unforecasted distractors. Not all changes to approved training schedules require battalion commander or higher level approval. Simple administrative changes such as references or instructors can be made by the company commander. However, substantive changes to tasks trained, dates, or cancellations require higher commander approval. Short-range preparation. Short-range preparation refines specific actions to complete prior to training execution. Some short-range preparations include the following activities. Continue to conduct training meetings. Monitor T-week activities and pre-execution checks. Complete leader training and certification. Verify and review training objectives. Prepare and review task training and evaluation outlines. Continue to train and certify leaders. Recon training sites. Verify convoy clearances submitted and approved. Verify all classes of supply requests are submitted and ready for pickup. Issue orders. Conduct rehearsals. Draw equipment and supplies to include training aids, devices, simulators, and simulations. Complete training event risk assessments. See ATP 5-19 and DD Form 2977, Deliberate Risk Assessment Worksheet. Conduct pre-combat checks and inspections. Short-range planning and preparation is complete when the unit is ready to execute training. Training models. 3-1. Training models are an effective technique for small units, company and below, to plan and prepare a training event. They provide a logical and reliable framework of activities and actions for small unit leaders to plan and prepare, execute, and evaluate single training events. The 8-step training model is the Army's preeminent training model. The Army's 8-step training model describes the following activities. Step 1. Plan the training event. Leaders develop specific and measurable training objectives based on the commander's guidance. They identify and coordinate the resources necessary to train and provide guidance and direction to subordinates. Leaders allocate and ensure soldiers have enough time for training, as well as identify the required resources to train effectively. They identify potential hazards and eliminate or mitigate associated risks. Lastly, leaders develop evaluation plans that support the tasks trained. Step 2. Train and certify leaders. Certification requirements are established, and leaders and trainers are certified to lead and conduct the training. Certified personnel must have detailed knowledge of the training subject matter and have performed the task to standard themselves. This step also includes training and certifying opposing force, OP4 leaders. Step 3. Recon training sites. Leaders perform reconnaissance of training sites and report back observations and potential issues prior to training execution. Leaders verify that training locations can support the training event and enable the unit to accomplish its training objectives. They make contact with site support personnel and solve scheduling and coordination issues. Step 4. Issue the operation order, OPORD. This order specifies responsibilities, timelines for execution, tactical scenarios, and other key information necessary to execute the training event. Leaders identify the tasks trained, training objectives, the training mission, and the methods to execute the training. Leaders ensure subordinates have all available information to prepare and execute the training event. A successful training event relies on all leaders understanding the expected outcome and remaining focused on the training objectives. Step 5. Rehearse. Leaders conduct rehearsals to ensure plans are synchronized and actions are understood by subordinates. Leaders supervise rehearsals to ensure those responsible for training are prepared and organized. This step includes conducting rehearsals necessary for OP4 leaders and personnel. Step 6. Train. Training is executed, tasks are observed and evaluated, and training objectives are trained until proficiency is achieved. As participants perform tasks, trainers evaluate performance against published standards. Step 7. Conduct after-action reviews. After-action reviews, AARs, are conducted during training and after the training event. AAR feedback is provided to the unit commander to help assess task proficiency. Lessons learned are discussed, recorded for future use, and shared with other units and leaders. These reviews help improve unit training as well as the unit's tactics, techniques, and procedures, TTP. Step 8. Retrain. Tasks not performed to standard are retrained and reevaluated until the standard is achieved. Units do not depart the training event with tasks not trained to standard and training objectives not met.